Before I read the first scripture lesson for today, I want to introduce the actual message for this time. Occasionally, a pastor has the privilege of someone requesting a specific message or sermon or whatever you wish to call it. Not too often, but occasionally over the years, people have done that, and it's always, always very much appreciated, because there's nothing worse than answering questions that nobody's asking. And as this question was put forward, several others chimed in and said, oh yes, we would really like to hear about that subject. And as quite often is always the case, the people who asked for the message aren't there on the Sunday that the message is given. So that's okay. Some of you are here, and others who were interested can always get the CD copy of the message as they choose. I would guess that there are two probable reactions to a series of messages on spiritual warfare. One would be, that's boring. Who wants to hear about spiritual warfare? What possibly could the reason be for that? I'm not interested in spiritual warfare. I'm just interested in trying to get through my life, my day, my activities, so forth. But there are a growing, significantly growing number of individuals who are beginning to recognize very clearly that much of the trauma and crises that we're facing as a nation, as families, as a culture, are really triggered primarily by spiritual warfare. The Bible is very clear about this. The Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is filled with many, many, many scriptures and principles and solutions as to how godly men and women are to deal in a world where spiritual corruption and spiritual warfare is gaining unbelievable control. Now, where you are in this cycle, I have no idea. I'm praying that after hearing the message today, you will discover how critical it is in this day and hour and time that the church, not just this congregation, but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, gives some very serious study, reflection, dialogue, and prayer about the encroaching work of Satan and his legions and spiritual warfare. So I want to say that at this point, depending on questions and answers and our dialogue sessions to follow, I believe that this will be three messages. Today, specifically, I want to introduce to you the origin of spiritual warfare. The origin of spiritual warfare. And next Sunday morning, to focus primarily on the dynamics of spiritual warfare. How does spiritual warfare operate in a world where you cannot see visibly the forces that are at war against you? And make no mistake about it, spiritual warfare is not just something that heads of nations have to deal with. It's not just something that theologians and pastors and Bible teachers have to deal with. Spiritual warfare is directed at every child of God of all ages for all their entire life. And there is no variation or shadow due to that. I remember a professor, one of my favorite, he's kind of an old fellow at the time. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Well, anyway, to me, being in my 20s, he was an old, old, old fellow. He wore a double-breasted gray pinstripe suit every single day, 5 days a week to class. Never changed his suit. Very, very meticulous, very specific in his mannerism and his teaching as well as his dress. And I recall one time he saying to our class when we were studying historical theology, which is the history of theological doctrines and teachings over the several thousands of years of church history, he was saying how few people there were in his observation. Now this would have been, in the late 1950s to date this conversation. And that it seemed to him that there were so little emphasis in the church and with ministers and Christian people to take seriously the reality of Satan. He said, we make a spoof of him. We make a joke of him. We paint him in a red suit with tail and a pitchfork, and we make movies. And he just really went on to describe how that culture in his time did not take seriously for one moment the reality of Satan, sin, and spiritual warfare. But I remember him saying that we should learn a lesson from a fellow by the name of Martin Luther. Of course, being in a Lutheran seminary, we heard his name quite often. And the professor said that Luther was maybe a little oversensitive to the presence of Satan, but because he was working so diligently on his powerful Reformation material, his commentaries, that the just shall live by faith. That's Luther's main thesis. And the devil was at work over time against him, and he would sit at his desk, and he would try to write, and the wind would blow and knock the papers off, and his children would start screaming downstairs, and he said that it was like trying to write a prayer in the midst of chaos. But one night, he was, after everybody gone to bed, he was at work in his study, translating from the original Latin and Greek these sections of scripture. And the devil, he said, was right on his shoulder. Right on his shoulder. And he said, Luther got so furious that he stood up, grabbed the inkwell off the desk, and threw it against the wall where the devil was. Now, I have heard that there are people who have gone to Germany, to Wittenberg, and have actually seen the room where Luther's episode with the inkwell is still visible on the walls. Well, that may be a little over dramatic, but I think it illustrates something that goes through my heart all the time we talk about this, that if we don't take seriously this whole question of spiritual warfare, what is it? How does it operate? How is it that we're going to overcome in the midst of our daily struggles the reality of the battle that is before each one of us? Then we who are ministers of the gospel have failed, miserably failed, in our task of sharing and teaching. So today I want to look at the subject of the origin of spiritual warfare. Now, When you start talking about the origin, you're talking about the beginning. And so if we're going to talk about the beginning, we want to go back to the book of Genesis. And so if we turn to Genesis chapter 3, here we have what I suppose we could call the first encounter of spiritual warfare on planet Earth with human beings. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yes, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. There, in that sentence, is the origin of spiritual warfare. Father God did not say anything about touching the tree. He said, You shall not eat of the tree, but he did not say, You may not touch it. Already in her mind, there was beginning to develop attitudes about requirements and laws and God's word. So the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not die. Right there, the war is in full swing. We are confronted at that moment with the truth, the revelation of Almighty God, and the lies and the deceptions and the falsities of Satan. And that's what spiritual warfare is all about. Spiritual warfare is about understanding, about being able to receive spiritual truth through the Holy Spirit and especially through the Bible, contrasting that spiritual truth to the lies and deceptions, philosophies and empty values of a fallen culture. When we lose, or if we ever had, the discernment, the ability to discern between what is truth revealed by Almighty God and what are the purported lies and deceptions of Satan, we will have made a major, major step forward in the struggle with spiritual warfare. Now let me show you even a little farther back than the first encounter between man and spiritual warfare. I want you to go with me to Isaiah chapter 14. And this is a revelation by the Holy Spirit given to Isaiah to explain a little more the picture of who this Satan is and from whence he has come. And so Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Now that's Satan being described as he fell from heaven, where he was considered to be the son of the morning, one of the three great, powerful archangels in Father God's creation. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, this is Satan speaking now, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Now, can you hear in those words the wicked, evil greed that Satan is spewing out? Furious, jealous, envy. He wants to be God. His goal is to replace Almighty God in the world with himself and to sit on the throne where only the Lord Jesus Christ may sit. But we don't take heed to this very often. We forget about it. Some would even say this really has nothing to do at all with spiritual warfare. Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. That's the official residence and domain of Satan. Yeah, you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof and opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nation, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as a raiment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword that go down to the stones of the pit. I'm not going to read any more of this. You can read on if you choose. But this is Father God's pronunciation against the rebellious scheme of Satan to take over the Lord Jesus' place and sit upon the throne of God. And so being cast out of heaven and cast down to hell, there begins the operation of the dominion of Satan, or what we might call the kingdom of darkness, or spiritual warfare. And because he is invisible, you don't see him. You don't hear his voice speak to you. I pray you don't. So people deny the reality of who this is that is leading this charge of spiritual warfare through the generations. And since his goal is to destroy the kingdom of God and the holy seed, as the time of the Lord Jesus' return draws nearer, the veracity, ferociousness of Satan's assault is increasing and increasing and increasing. And it is especially increasing against the precious seed, the children of Almighty God, those created in the image of God. Because in the eyes of Almighty God, all children are precious. Not just little Christian boys and girls. All life is precious. But you see, Satan, he gets in there. And some lives aren't worthy. Some lives aren't valued. And this whole parade of evil and wicked theology and philosophy and whatever you want to call it, proceeds out of the mouth of hell. Now, I am purporting to you today that while we tend to look at the, whatever you want to call it, the evil, the wickedness, the badness of our culture, and assign it to people, these people are doing this, the Russians are doing that, the terrorists, whoever you put in the place, in the teaching of Scripture concerning spiritual warfare, rule number one is you do not regard persons made of flesh and blood. In your war, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you do not war against persons, that's people, made of flesh and blood. Because that's not the source of the evil and the wickedness that's driving the whole operation. But Paul goes on to explain, we struggle not against persons made of flesh and blood, but of powers, principalities, and evil spirits in high places. Now, when Satan and the angels who rebelled with him were cast out of heaven, we don't know how many angels were given the pink slip. We don't know that. What we do know is this, that of the totality of the angels in heaven, one-third of them rebelled against Father God and were cast out with Satan to the domain of hell. And given permission to roam the earth and to carry out their temptations and whatever to test sons and daughters of God. It's the part we don't like, that testing, that temptation. The Father has given us the power to overcome. We'll get into that in our final message. But here we see the opening, if you will, of the picture of how Satan and his evil empire were able to gain a hold on culture going back to the Garden of Eden, and how they were able and have been able to deceive individuals, that instead of fighting Satan or Luther throwing the ink pot at the devil on the wall, we battle each other. We fight each other. Now, next Sunday, I'm going to explain way more in detail how the dynamics of actual spiritual warfare work. But let's just get a hold this Sunday of the origin. The evil scheming greed of Satan to be like God. Lucifer, star of the morning, that was his name, Lucifer, cast out of heaven, demonic spirits with him, principalities, powers, and demonic spirits roaming, if you will, the earth, and bringing devastation and warfare to people. Now, I believe this is a subject worth pursuing. My prayer is that maybe you'd have a little piece of paper in your Bible, or you'd have a little extra notebook, and you would write down these scriptures that we're going to be bringing to you, because the truth of the whole idea of spiritual warfare is not theology. It's not philosophy. It's not doctrine, dogma, church. It is the Word of God. It's the Bible. What does the Bible say about spiritual warfare, how it operates, and for us primarily, how do you overcome it? How do you win the battle? So I pray you'll stay tuned, because more to follow next week. Let's pray. Father, this is a heavy, heavy subject. Probably not the most popular subject that churches would speak about, but the fact that we have neglected it so mightily is probably why spiritual warfare is so prevalent, because we don't give it regard and deal with it as you have taught us in your word. So put aside any prejudices, previous conceived ideas, and let us hear the clear teaching of the word of the Lord. And for our families, for our communities, our churches, our nation, our world, let us take those steps that you direct us to enter the battle of spiritual warfare and see Jesus victorious. We pray these things in thy holy and precious name. And the Lord's people said, Amen. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the precious Holy Spirit be with you all. And the Lord's people said, Amen. 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 Go in peace and with joy. Let's serve the Lord.